J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I'm in New York in my office where people wear clothes because it's cold, while you're at a bar in Miami watching bimbos walk by in bikinis. I never look at other men because I have you, but you look at bimbos in bikinis. Do you have to? I don't like Miami. There's too much flesh out of control. When someone's boobs are in your face, how can you see their soul? And then it's like, lust is rampant, and all I see are bikinis and bimbos and MTV and Playboy and commercials on streets everywhere. You'd have to be blind not to notice them. They're blind. Hey, if you were blind, our love could work. So I think I'll just get a knife and stab your eyes out. But I don't want you to be blind, because then you couldn't see me. So I guess I'll have to just go to a gym and work out real hard and buy a bikini. I'll buy a bikini.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, January 7th, 2022. 305 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? What you're listening to right now is amongst the top 10% of all podcasts going on in the country right now. We got that word a couple of weeks ago, and we're very, very pleased to hear that. And we thank everybody listening right now for spreading the word and just telling friends and family members and people that you know at work and stuff like that. Hey, you know, JC's doing this thing every day, and it's absolutely free. And, you know, one of the things we know, because we've done so much research about podcasting over the last 6 months especially, and you learn a lot of stuff, you find out a bunch of stuff, and one of the things you find out is that people have to have it's got to be easy. It's got to really, really be as easy as possible for people to listen to a podcast, because there's some podcasts where it's like, okay, now you go to this website, then you have to sign in, and then you got a password, and then you do this, and you do that, and people are missing the boat on that. People won't do it. The whole process has got to be pretty much as easy as just sitting down in your car and turning on the car radio. If there's more than one step, then people just aren't going to do it. So that's what we did. We made it as easy as possible. You go to jcontheline.com like you have done. There's a little arrow there. You push the arrow and the podcast starts playing. And I hear this all the time and it drives me crazy. People say, well, if you missed this on our show earlier today, you can listen to it on the podcast. And there is a big difference between a podcast and a recording of a radio show that you have already done. That's just a recording. A podcast is separate programming like we do here. If you do a radio show at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you say, if you missed our interview with so-and-so in the 10 o'clock hour today, listen to it on the podcast. That's not a podcast. That's a recording of your show. Let's try to get it right. Oh, God. Speaking of getting it right, I'm sure this woman is very nice. She's been with Fox 2 for quite a few years now. And I'm not impugning her skills as a reporter, but come on, you got to do better than this.
The Missouri State Highway Patrol says Hernandez was behind the wheel of this vehicle, a Volkswagen Passat, and was driving the wrong way on eastbound Interstate 44 at 47. Hernandez hit the front of a Buick Enclave, sending it into a medium.
Did you say a medium?
Sending it into a medium.
That's what Kelly Hoskins said, a medium. Are you sure it wasn't an extra large? And as you know, if you follow me on Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, you know that I collect these these flubs that the TV stations make when they put their graphics up, and they're always misspelling words. And there were a couple of yesterday. I think I put up four different ones yesterday. And Channel 4 and Channel 5 seem to be the worst, especially Channel 4. They can't spell, and that's one problem. But the second problem is there's nobody to catch it. I worked in television for 16 years, and, you know, before I put anything on the air, somebody looked at it and made sure that I wasn't going to say anything stupid, or that I wasn't going to misspell something or mispronounce a word or use the wrong word. You know, sometimes when you're in a newsroom, and the place can really get buzzing sometimes, and you're sort of sitting there and you're trying to think and you're trying to concentrate, and you know there's a deadline coming, and you're watching the clock and you're starting to get late, and you're just typing away, you're going like crazy, and I gotta finish this. Good, okay, I'm done. I made it. Let's submit it. But in your haste, and in the pressure cooker situation that a newsroom can be sometimes, you think you've made perfect sense. This is why you need editors. And editors can be very annoying, because their job is to sit there and pick apart what you've written and try to make it better, more clear. But in the process, there can be tension between the editor and the reporter, because sometimes they change more things than they should or that they need to, and that can cause friction sometimes. But editors are definitely needed. There have been many, many times where a television newsroom editor or producer has caught something that I've said or done and said, whoa, hold it, what did you say here? And I go, oh, shit, you're right. I didn't mean the 7th, I meant the 6th. Actually, Fox News Channel did that yesterday. You know, when they come on the air in the morning with their Fox and Friends show, they put up a big graphic that says what the date is. And yesterday it was like, today is January 7th. There's only one problem. Yesterday was January 6th. And I can understand with the significance of January 6th, maybe they didn't want to sort of acknowledge that it was the 6th. Let's just move right on to the 7th. So, you know, we keep Sean Hannity out of prison. Speaking of television news, on this date in 1993, Channel 4 had sent me to New York to interview a bunch of the CBS stars, if you will. And Viacom was the company that owned Channel 4 at the time. They also owned MTV. So I'm flying to New York, and sitting directly behind me, the new general manager and the new program director of KMOX. This is 1993, and these two guys are sitting directly behind me. Now, at that particular time, I was not on the radio. I'd had a very terrible breakup with 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station at the time, and I was off the air. I was serving out a non-compete. The non-compete just basically said you can't be on the radio for, I don't know how many, I think it was like 6 months or 8 months or 9 months or something like that. So I was serving out that non-compete, but it didn't stop me from being on television. And I was talking to these two guys. They're sitting right behind me. We talked for, you know, 2 solid hours on the flight to New York. And a couple of weeks later, I get a call from them, and they're like, how'd you like to come to work at KMOX? And that's how I ended up there. Just by chance, the two guys were sitting behind me, and I guess they liked the way I presented myself. I wasn't looking for a job. I was just talking to the guys. But see, this is one of those things that comes up every once in a while in conversation, where you have country clubs. And there are other organizations, but the country clubs are the worst, because a lot of them are restricted, obviously. No Jews, no blacks. And every once in a while, you'll hear somebody trying to defend this policy by saying, well, you know, if I was a black guy, I wouldn't want to be someplace where I knew I wasn't wanted. And 90% of the time, I would be in complete agreement with you, because that's how I am too. I don't care where it is. If I get the sense that they don't want me there, I leave. Although in recent years, I will say sometimes if I find out they don't want me there, I stay even longer. But you know what I mean. But here's the thing. Golf courses, you know, country clubs, that's where deals are made. Big deals. It's all these fat cats out there playing golf. You're a pretty good golfer. You're a good guy. You know what? We ought to do some business together. And that's the way the world works. So if you want in on the big deals and the big money, you got to be where the fat cats are. And if you're black, you can't just sit there and say, well, I'll let all the big money and all the big deals go to all the white people. No, you got to get in there. You got to be part of it. So that's how that stuff works. The trip, by the way, was really cool. I got to interview Dan Rather right there on the set of the CBS Evening News, and I was really just hanging around the CBS newsroom for the entire afternoon. Then they sent me over across the hall to 48 Hours, that magazine show, and that was really fun because I got to sit in on a brainstorming session for a show that they were putting together. And again, I'm the reporter. I'm just supposed to be a fly on the wall. I'm not supposed to be participating in this brainstorming session, but I couldn't help myself because they were all sitting around and they needed a name for this one episode of 48 Hours that they were doing, and they couldn't come up with one. The show, the episode of 48 Hours, had something to do with nursing homes and people who were passing away, who were, I don't know, being neglected or something like that. And they were you know, brainstorming, tossing out names for the episode, and nobody could come up with anything they liked. And so I just wrote something down on a piece of paper, and I passed it to the reporter next to me. There was like, oh God, there must have been 20 people in this room all brainstorming, including the executive producer. And I handed the note to one person. They handed it down, and went all the way down to the producer. And he opened up the piece of paper and looked at it, and then looked at me as if to say, you're not supposed to do this. Sort of like, you know, reporting ethics. But I had written down, dying to get in. And they ended up using it, which I thought was really fucking cool. All right. So then they sent me over to Andy Rooney. And I thought Andy Rooney was going to be a real prick. Oh, my God, was he fun. He was great. You know, because I was asking him, well, do I have the audio in here? I wonder if it's in my library here. Well, I'll be damned, here it is.
That's a wonderful thing you're starting here, JC. Tell us how it all got started and what's happening.
We did something called the Food and Cash Salvation Bash back in the late 80s, and we raised all this money.
Wait a minute. That's not Andy Rooney. That's John Rooney. Sorry, wrong Rooney. Is this it here?
You don't like my policies. You can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt.
No, that's Mr. Rooney, the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Come on, where is this thing?
A thoroughly enjoyable home opening day at Busch Stadium.
It's John Rooney again. All right, I thought it was in here. It's not. Well, anyhow, trust me, I was talking to Andy Rooney about, you know, people would always send him stuff, but he would never use anything that people sent him. He didn't think of it himself. He didn't do it on television on 60 Minutes. Boy, that was a long way to go for nothing. Then I remember I got to spend about a half an hour with Steve Croft, who up until just a couple of years ago was one of the major contributors to 60 Minutes. And then we went a couple of blocks away over to the MTV headquarters. And that was really cool. You know, I thought it was going to end up being like a frat house in there. And it was, you could hear a pin drop. Because everybody was working. A lot of people in their 20s with purple hair and stuff like that running around, but everybody looked really, really busy and deadly serious about everything. And odd that I would remember this person's name is Dave Cerulnik. Dave Cerulnik was the news director for MTV, which basically, for all intents and purposes, put him in charge of everything. And we had a long talk, and we were, you know, discussing things like their use of the term anti-abortion instead of pro-life. And he was like, everybody's pro-life. And this was also right about the time that all of the presidential candidates were either coerced or really just thought it was a great idea to come and like do these things that they'd put about, you know, 300 kids in a studio, and then Bill Clinton would walk in and try to win over their votes. And George Herbert Walker Bush was, he was the guy that was sort of coerced into it. And Cerulnik was telling me that he was really sort of grumpy about the whole thing. Like he didn't really feel like this was a productive use of his time. It should also be pointed out that he lost and Bill Clinton won. So there, that was when that whole rock the vote thing started. I've told you before that on this podcast, we do politics only when it's unavoidable. I guess my question is, what got into Joe Biden yesterday? Because to be honest, we already know that a lot of Democrats are getting really tired of waiting around for Merrick Garland to do something. The attorney general got screwed out of a Supreme Court nomination a couple of years ago. Now he's the AG, and he came out swinging the other day. And then Biden yesterday. What was up with this?
The former president of the United States of America has created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election. He's done so because he values power over principle, because he sees his own interest as more important than his country's interest, than America's interest, and because his bruised ego matters more to him than our democracy or our Constitution. He can't accept he lost, even though that's what 93 United States senators, his own attorney general, his own vice president, governors and state officials in every battleground state have all said he lost.
Wow. Where did all that come from? I think it was John Dickerson talking about this. John Dickerson comes from a pretty you know, significant lineage. His mother was one of the first women in network television news, Nancy Dickerson. I remember seeing her a long time ago. He looks just like his mother, by the way. And I'm hoping I got this right. It was either him or was somebody on CNN last night. I've been watching so much TV lately, watching, you know, coverage of all of this stuff that sometimes I conflate these things. But I'm pretty sure it was him. And he said that there's going to be a contingent of people in the Republican Party that very, very soon, you know, because you've got the midterm. Well, it's like I said, 305 days away to the midterms. And there's supposedly a contingent of very powerful, influential Republicans that are putting together their own little splinter group that is going to try to take control of the party and basically say, Don, thanks for everything you did, but we need you to sit this next one out. I'll believe that when I see it. All right, let's switch gears here and talk about something more fun. We're officially 1 week into the new year, and here's five household things that they say you should toss to start 2022 off right. For example, number one, old documents, stuff like super old tax documents and bank and credit card statements. All that stuff can be shredded. It's also a good time to toss out takeout menus, junk mail, expired coupons. If you want to hold on to something, you can always scan it and store it in the cloud with Dropbox or Google Drive or something like that. Number two, damaged kitchenware, stuff like Tupperware that's stained or missing its lid, chipped drinking glasses, or a pan that has too many scratches. Number three, expired fridge and pantry items. The beginning of a new year is a good time to go through your fridge and pantry because everything with an expiration date of 2021 can be tossed. Clothes you don't wear can be thrown out or given to Goodwill, something like that. And finally, junk drawer items. Oh, God, this is me. Go through them and toss any pens that don't write, dead or expired batteries, empty tape dispensers, out-of-date phone chargers, and other unusable items. See, that's I'm guilty as they come of that. Got too much shit laying around. By the way, speaking of the new year, how about this? The clocks on a lot of Honda and Acura cars switched not to 2022, but to 2002 because of some sort of software glitch. Honda says they're aware of it. They're working on a fix, but there's nothing you can do to fix it right now. So you're going to be a few years late to all your appointments. Got some showbiz stuff here for you. Sandra Bullock sang the praises of Netflix for giving people jobs, especially her. Here's the quote. Who would think that me as a woman would still be working at this point? I would have been put out to the cow pasture. It's true. End quote. First it was Jimmy Fallon, then Seth Meyers, James Corden, now the third late night talk host to test positive for COVID. So the Late Late Show will be off the air for a few days. He said he was fully vaccinated and boosted, so he feels completely fine right now. Hoda Kotb from the Today Show is down with the Rona. Not sure what's going on with Britney Spears, other than I guess part of spreading your wings is to take a lot of naked pictures of yourself. A couple of weeks ago, after the conservatorship was no longer allowed by the judge, she took some topless shots, and now yesterday she took topless and bottomless shots. But you know, they're not the real thing because they have like little, almost like emojis, almost like little stickers over all the important parts. Well, she looks pretty good. What is she, 40 now? She's a short shit. I think she's like 5'2". Not that there's anything wrong with that. Next 3 weeks are going to be tough for anybody who doesn't like football, particularly if you are a NFL fan and your significant other is not, because this is where trouble starts. Because for the next three weekends, we have games on Saturday and on Sunday. So tomorrow, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on ESPN and ABC, NFL football with the Denver Broncos hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. Not a very significant game there. It is for the Chiefs. And then tomorrow night, 7:15, you got the Eagles hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Sunday night football, the Vegas Raiders against the Los Angeles Chargers. And I think they have identical records or something close to it. And then that's it. There was no Thursday night football this past week, and there's no Monday night football coming up because everything is playoffs now once you get past this weekend. Season finale of Dexter New Blood, that's on Showtime on Sunday night. A $6 billion, with a B, a $6 billion class action lawsuit has been filed against the New York Giants and the New York Jets because they say they're from New York, but they play in New Jersey. Somebody wants money for that. The new trailer for the first half of Ozark Season 4 hits Netflix on January 21st. The trailers are up if you look for them. Ariana DeBose from West Side Story and Hamilton hosting the January 15th episode of Saturday Night Live. The Eagles are extending their Hotel California tour. Yesterday, they announced they're playing the United Center in Chicago this summer, and that's the closest they're going to be coming to St. Louis. I think those tickets either go on sale today. Maybe it's today. If it's not, it's next Friday, but you're going to have to check on that if you are thinking about a trip up to Chicago to see the Eagles, because that might be your last shot at things. Speaking of your last shot at things, director Peter Bogdanovich died yesterday. He was 82. He made some movies that were absolutely groundbreaking, but he also let his dick do his thinking for him. He got involved with Dorothy Stratton, and then she was murdered by the boyfriend. I think he was boinking Sybil Shepherd for a while when they were doing the Last Picture Show. He made Paper Moon. It got some Oscar nominations and a win. Tatum O'Neill, she's like 10 years old at the time, made the movie Mask about that kid who had the disfigured face. Cher was in that. And I just happened to watch this movie about 6 months ago, and I hadn't seen it in a real long time. And my gosh, it's still one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. Barbara Streisand and Ryan O'Neal in What's Up, Doc? If you've never seen that movie, oh my God. The scene with the pane of glass remains a classic. It's almost like something out of Buster Keaton or something. Birthdays today, Friday, include Lauren Cohen from The Walking Dead is 40, Jeremy Renner, damn good actor, 51, liked him in The Hurt Locker, Nicolas Cage, 58, Rand Paul, 59, Kathy Valentine, bass player for the Go-Go's, 63, Katie Kirk, 65, David Caruso from CSI Miami, 66, Kenny Loggins, man, oh man, a lot of music from this guy. Danny's song, Your Mama Don't Dance, Celebrate Me Home, Whenever I Call You Friend with Stevie Nicks. This Is It, I'm All Right, Heart to Heart, Don't Fight It, Footloose, We Are the World, Danger Zone, Return to Pooh Corner, all of that stuff plus more. Oh, Angry Eyes, come on. Kenny Loggins, 74 this weekend, and Jan Wenner from Rolling Stone is either 75 or 76. They can't figure that out. Birthdays for Saturday, Kim Jong-un, 38. Gabby Hoffman from Transparent. She was also in Girls and also the little girl in Field of Dreams. She's 40 today. R. Kelly, 55, and Jailed. Robbie Krieger, The Last Door, on the right or the left, 76. Bob Eubanks, 84. Elvis would have been celebrating a birthday. He was born in 35. Sunday birthdays, Kate Middleton, 40. Dave Matthews, 55. J.K. Simmons, one of our better actors working right now, 67. Crystal Gayle, Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue, 71. David Johansen, Buster Poindexter, hot, 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 72. Jimmy Page from Zeppelin, 78. Joan Baez, 81. 2 years ago, Neil Peart from Rush died of brain cancer, 67. And it was 95 years ago this Sunday, 1927, the Harlem Globetrotters played their first game in Hinckley, Illinois. I know something about this because I used to have a job when I was in college, a radio station in Dundee, Illinois. And on Friday nights, we had to run high school basketball games. And Huntley at Hinckley, these, you know, farming communities with these big farm kids out there, you know, hacking each other in the paint. Has anybody noticed how popular the television show The Bachelor is with women? This is a show about a guy dating multiple women at once, watched by women who hate guys who date multiple women at once. Do I have a point? God. This house we used to have over at near Lindbergh and Clayton Road, we had a lot of foliage and trees and everything in the backyard, and we had an owl. We had actually a family of owls, but one owl, we had this glass wall, basically, so the owl could see in, especially at night, the owl could see into the house, and we had, at the time, one black cat, and that owl would sit outside and just stare, trying to figure out, how am I going to eat that cat? You could see Victor running around all over the house, and the owl would just stare at him like, I'm going to get you one of these days. The owl was wrong. Let's put it that way. Owls can't move their eyes. That's why they look so scary when you look at them. The eyes are not balls. They're cylinders that are held in place by bones. Because of that, owls have evolved to be able to rotate their head 270 degrees left and right and 90 degrees up and down. And they give me the creeps. Anything that's staring at me is going to give me the creeps. Ever get into that argument with people about whether a tomato is a fruit or a vegetable? Now we find out that technically bananas aren't a fruit. They're an herb. The banana plant is sometimes called a banana tree, but it's actually an herb since it has a succulent stem instead of a wood one. The inventor of the ATM wanted to use originally six-digit pins, but when he ran the idea past his wife, she could only remember four digits, and so because she had a rotten memory, it's been four digits ever since. If somebody calls you a six on a scale of 1 to 10, is that an insult or a compliment? It's above average, right? Well, a recent poll found that's what the average man rates himself. Technically, a 5.9 out of 10. Only men were polled, not women. 42% of the guys said they're happy with the way they look overall. It also found 62% of men wish they were taller, but the top things they're insecure about, the weight, lack of muscle tone, their abs, lack of abs, their teeth, and their hair. The Consumer Electronics Show is going on in Vegas. People used to go from all over the world to this thing back in the day because all the porn stars were there. And then about, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, the porn stars set up their own CES show. So if you wanted to, you know, ogle them, you had to go to two different places. But anyhow, BMW unveiled a new concept car at the show in Vegas, and the whole thing changes colors at the push of a button. Instead of paint, the entire SUV is covered in the same digital paper, quote-unquote digital paper, they use in a Kindle e-reader. One of the people who invented Google Glass eyewear is now working on a smart retainer that lets you text with your tongue. It tracks how your tongue moves and figures out what you're saying, even if you just mouth the words. It could help people communicate in very loud environments or quiet places like libraries. A study in Hungary found that dogs could be bilingual. They can tell the difference between languages like English and Spanish. In space news, astronomers recently watched a star 120 million light years away turn into a supernova and then explode. That's a first for astronomy. This is while the Webb telescope, the Sun Shield, now fully deployed, and it's zipping away from Earth very, very fast, about a third of a mile per second. And sometime this summer, it's going to start sending back images that we have never even been able to dream of before. They're thinking that they're going to be able to look back in time, possibly as far back as the Big Bang. And I'm telling you, I'm not even high right now, but I feel like I am, because that's the kind of discussion you end up in. That Webb telescope thing, I am telling you, it could end up being the most exciting technological breakthrough in the history of man. And I was having dinner with somebody in St. Louis about 10 days ago, and they didn't know a thing about it. I am not exaggerating. This could be the biggest technological breakthrough in the history of the planet. You'd think more people would be aware of it. Well, they will be this summer when this stuff starts being sent back. And we might find out things we don't want to know. The question becomes, will they tell us? Now it's parts of the Deep South that have cars lined up on a highway where people can't get off. They can't move. They're just stuck there in their cars. Same situation that we had in Washington, D.C. a couple of days ago. Uber charged one of the passengers $600 after he was trapped for hours in that I-95 traffic jam in Washington. But he did get 5 stars for not resorting to cannibalism. It's the little victories. Some Jacksonville Jaguar fans plan on dressing as clowns for the team's final home game on Sunday. That's crazy. The Jaguars have fans? And a Yoko Ono tribute album is on the way featuring David Byrne, Flaming Lips, Death Cab for Cutie. It's already the front runner to win a Grammy for Best Comedy Album. Hi-yo! And with that, we say that's it for Friday, January 7th. 305 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We are here every Monday through Friday. We're in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country, and we thank you for spreading the word. You can email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. It's absolutely free. We archive everything. If you want to binge on the weekend, go nuts. Knock yourself out. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.